We want to continue in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and I'm only going to look at one verse today. You have to bear with me because it's only one verse, but the theme is the greatest theme of the Bible, and that's the theme of love, God's love in particular. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 reads this way, but above all these things, put on love. Put on love. He said, listen, remember last week, Paul, we studied this. Paul says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That's a lot. Then he stretches a blanket of love over all that and says, but above all these things, put on love. Now, what we see Paul doing there is this. He's not negating all that he said before. He's just covering it all because all of what he just said fits under the blanket of God's love. Why? Because love is tender mercies. Love is humility. Love is kindness, for love suffers long and is kind. So he's not negating what he said. He's just wrapping it up. And if you wanted one commandment, yeah, I know we have the 10, but if you wanted just one, it would be to love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor, right? Because why? Love is the fulfillment of the law, of all the law. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the 613 that they came out with. All of those, love fulfills it all. And so Paul says, above all these things, put on love. If you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear what I've been hearing. Above all things, this, do this, put on love. You say, what is my job as a Christian? What, as it relates to other people, and what am I supposed to be given to? And as Carl set me up with the tree of life with this whole, this tragedy in Pittsburgh. Think about this. What would government look like if everyone in government loved one another? What would politics look like? Listen, the Bible is the answer to every ill of man. You see, we don't need a third party in America, or fourth or fifth. You know what we need? We need the love of God. We need the love of God. We need the kingdom of God. That's what we need. Hello. Libertarians can't fix it. Republicans can't fix it. Democrats can't fix it. Come on. The only person who can fix it, I know somebody told you no one can fix it but me, but I'm going to tell you, there's only one person who can fix it. There's only one person who can fix it. And it's not a political party. Listen. What would businesses look like if we loved one another? What would families look like if families simply loved one another with the love of God? What would the church look like? What are you talking about, Pastor? Don't the church? I know my English ain't right. I'm doing that on purpose. Don't the church love one another the way they love? Well, the video I saw of the woman who reared back and smacked the pastor across his face. And he reared back and went back and whop and tagged her one. No, that's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. And these people were in their 60s and 70s. Throwing blows. Yeah, technically in church. Right outside the doors of the church. Hello. So what would the church look like? Paul said, above all things, put on love. Now notice he said, put on. The subject is understood, is you. You put on. Remember, Paul said, put off the old man, put on the new. And this is the last thing he tells us to put on in the book of Colossians. He says, put on love. Put on love. I got a company I need to call because they had messed up something, you know, in daily life and account or whatever. And I told my, I was telling Tori, somebody, I said, I need to call this company, but I got to preach on love today. And I ain't feeling too lovely. Help me. No, but because I have to live this, amen. The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. You know what that means? When you plant corn and the corn come up, you're the first one to eat it. Amen. And when you prepare a word and the words start talking, you're the first one get to hear it and got to deal with it. Hello? Amen. So I got to eat this. Hallelujah. And so Paul says, put on love. And I don't mean the love of the world. So when I say love, we have to distinguish now. Because when the world says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. They're not talking about the love we're talking about. You understand what I'm saying? Because Merriam-Webster says that love means a strong affection for another. It'd be all right if it stopped right there. But it says arising out of kinship and personal ties. Arising. Now it's talking. Why is it say that? Because it's talking about human love. See, humans love one another when we have kinship or personal ties. But you have to remember that we weren't kin to God any longer. Not after we fell. Nowhere in the Bible does it say a sinner that God is the father of a sinner. No. No. God is your father once you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then he's your father. But when we fell, we became his enemies. That's what happened. So there was no kinship. There was no personal ties. We were no longer in the image of God the way God created us. And it goes on and it talks about love or affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interests. We had no common interests with God. Hello, right? Then as a verb, it talks about to hold dear or to cherish. That's the closest we get with this human understanding of love. But God's love does not find a reason to love the subject in the subject. Right. Right. Did you hear me? Lord, help me put it another way. In other words, when I go to love this, the way we love is that there's a benefit for me loving this that causes me to love it. You understand? There it is. Do you see what I'm saying? That's human love. So when a human loves you, it's never just simply to love you. There's got to be something I can get out of you in order for me to love you. But see, God's love, agape love, the love that God has for us has its origination and source in him. Such that when God loves you, there's nothing you can do that can stop him from loving you. But see, in human love, if you love me for what I do for you, then when I stop doing for you, then you stop loving me. See? And so this is the type of love that Paul is talking about when he says, above all things, put on love. Put on love. And so he says, which is the bond of perfection. 1 John 4, verse 7. Says, beloved, we used to have a song we would sing in church all the time. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. And that's how we memorize that particular scripture. But the scripture says that God is love. And if we are children of God, and God is love, then it stands to reason that we're going to be children of God who love one another. When Paul says this in Colossians, he's addressing Christians. He's addressing Christians who are in the body of Christ, and the text particularly has to do with Christians loving one another. John says in 1 John 4:9, in this is the love of God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, when the world talks about love, it always starts with us. John said, in this is love, not that we loved him, but that God loved us and he sent his only begotten Son. In actuality, you know this, though. The world does not know or have any idea of God's definition of love. None. Period. It has no idea. Think back to when you were unsaved, when you were lost. Lord knows I had no idea of agape love. And part of the reason was I hadn't received sufficient human love either. I had no idea. Right? So he says, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Who we got a problem with loving? Don't answer that. Glory to God. Amen. Who we got a problem with? Amen. In the body of Christ. There's plenty of room in the body of Christ for the body of Christ to deal with this issue. Because Christ is living in us, that is going to constantly come up. He's going to cause our love to be perfected, not only towards him, but toward one another. But love in the body of Christ should look like the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because love, Paul says to us, love is not just a thing, it's a choice. It's an action. It's not just an ethereal concept, you know, out there. Oh, love, love, love. No. If I love you, there's a certain way I'm going to act towards you and treat you. Hello. If I love you, there's a certain way I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk down to you. Hello. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers long. I know some saints, people contact me and say, just out of the blue, folks who used to go here, folks that don't go here, but I just know through acquaintance, they'll say, would you please pray for me? Please pray for my family. Because some of them are going through circumstances, and this is how often times your love is tested. God will allow your love to be tested by a circumstance in your life with another Christian that you cannot control. It is what it is. It is not the best situation. It may cause you some discomfort. It may cause you some pain, but you can't get out of it. And you sit and you go to prayer and say, Lord, why? And for those of you who don't know by now, just don't go saying, Lord, why? Just dispense with that, okay? Because he's not going to tell you why. Wrong question. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, if you're in the trial, he says, any of you lack wisdom, let it ask of God, and God will give you wisdom, amen, to deal with the circumstances of the situation that you find yourself in. But one of the attributes of love is that it suffers long. Long. And it is kind. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. In other words, love isn't jealous or discontented with someone else's good fortune comes about. Love doesn't, when someone has better qualities than me, love doesn't look at the person, jaws getting tight, teeth gritting, and wishing that something would come their way. A good fall for you would be good right about now. No, love doesn't say that. Love does not do that. Love does not parade itself. Why? Because love is humble. Love is humble. God is humble. Love is not puffed up. Love does not have an inflated view of itself. It doesn't look in the mirror and go, "Woo, every side is good. My, look at it. Woo." No, that's not love. Love does not behave itself rudely. It's meek. Love is gentle. Love is gentle. Love does not seek its own. And if you want to know the number one quality of fallen man is selfishness. The number one quality of fallen man is selfishness. I'm always telling my children, and when we reading the news or whatever we're going through, or when my wife comes home and she talks about something that's symptomatic of corporate America, I'm always telling them that, but that's corporate America. What's the bottom line of corporate America? It's the dollar. Everything in all, even philanthropic and even quote unquote good things, if I can tell you how good I've been, yeah, I'll give the money, but let me tell you how good I did it now. I'm the number one giver, you know, but it's all about that dollar. The dollar drives everything. Hello. But love doesn't seek its own. Love seeks what's good for another. It's merciful. It is not provoked. It's not provoked. I thought about Tyler Perry's Maldia. Now, I don't even watch those. I don't know. I don't watch those things. But I saw a clip one day where this Maldio character was saying something, and he said, "Oh Lord, help me because I'm about to go off on this person." And I'm like, that's, you're easily provoked. Easily provoked. Love is not provoked. You can mess with it, toy with it, all these things, but love isn't provoked. Love thinks no evil. Forget doing evil. Because in order for you to do evil, you have to think it first. But love thinks no evil. So I'm challenged by the Holy Spirit. When someone does me wrong, when the thought comes, capture it, bring it to into obedience, and don't allow it to live in my mind. Because what lives in your mind is going to eventually end up being acted out, right? So he goes on and says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You know, it's, you know, we can read by that and just go, yeah, love rejoices in the truth, just keep on going. But let me tell you what that means. Love rejoices in the truth. And the moment you and I side with a lie, the moment we get close to, I think I'll just step a little closer, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, is all over that. And because he's living in you, he's living in me, he's going to bear witness to the truth in us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, right? This is the love that we're talking about. And so we're going to, as Paul is stretches this blanket of love over all of what he just said, it behooves us to look a little deeper into this love. Now, obviously, as I began to think about the scriptures that I would talk about with love, they kept coming. There's just too many. There's too many. I'd have to do a sermon series on love, and it would take 5 years, you know, to be exhaustive study. So let me mention a few. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Oh, that's beautiful. You say, I can't focus on all that other stuff. You don't have to. You don't have to. This New Testament, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Galatians 5:14. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when I'm driving through traffic, impatient, and I glance in that mirror, and I think, you're too close.
hang tight, calm down. You wouldn't want him to do to you what you about to do to him. Amen. And when we're talked to, I called someone, my wife was, I think she was there, and I called this young lady, or they called me, they had had a shipment due yesterday, or due Friday, and they called me Friday night, and said, well, I said, where was my shipment supposed to be delivered today? And the girl was like, well, we couldn't get it to you today. How about tomorrow? And I'm like, whoa, wait. And I'm like, you know, and see, I'm a business owner. So as a business owner, you every person that you talk to, like an employee, you want to bring them up to a level where they would be acceptable as a business owner. You understand? No, really. When you think about that person as working for you. And so what I wanted to say to her was, young lady, let me help you a little bit. Your tone is way off. Your tone. But if I did that, I knew probably her tone would probably get worse because she sounded like that type of person. And but part of me, I was like, wait, wow, this is not good. And so I had to, you know, back it down. And they delivered my stuff late and broken, but it's okay. We part of it was fouled up, but you know, you just gotta keep on going, right? Amen. Lord will fix it. So none of us would like to be treated in an unloving manner, so this is how we're to treat one another. Above all, put on love. And you literally have to put it on. Because sometimes you'll find yourself naked and unclothed. Hello, am I the only one? Romans 13. I got a quick loud no from over here. She's in touch with where she is. Amen. We all need to be. Hello. Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Love does no harm to a neighbor. So when I say something to my wife in the wrong tone, she immediately comes back and says, oh, honey, it's quite all right. What would you like, my king? Actually, I'm just having fun. But it says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Too much laughing, sister. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Think about that. Love does no harm to a neighbor. My killed years ago, there's a man across the street, you know, and this man, he has a foul attitude, just bad what it is. My children were out playing with all the children, and they ran around his truck, and his alarm system went off. But it wasn't the kids. It wasn't, because they just playing. People run around all that. I walk around the truck, too, all the time. And I didn't happen to be outside. Probably was a good thing. But the man came out and yelled at my son. My boy was like this. He yelled, what are you doing? What? Don't do that again. He just started yelling at my son. I didn't know. I don't know where I was, maybe at work or whatever. But that was highly inappropriate. Highly inappropriate. Can scar a child. You understand? And yet had I been there, I would have had to then put on. Put on love. Come on. Put on love. Now, I mean, because what Paul says, we're to love one another as the body of Christ, we also extend that love. It has to go outside the body, right? Peter said this in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, you know the Spirit of God wrote the scriptures, and above all things have fervent love one for another. This is Peter speaking now. Mirroring exactly what Paul said in Colossians 3. He said, above all things, have fervent love for one another. 1 Peter 4:8. Then he says this. And this, boy, I tell you what. You're about to hear a scripture that's going to change your life. Hello. I'm going to read the balance of this scripture. He said, for above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Woo! Love will cover a multitude of sins. So what this means is, shall I share it, Lord? Somebody real close to me a while ago said something about me that hurt me more probably in close to 50 years of me being alive. It cut so deep. It went so far. And the moment that it happened, the Holy Spirit brought the scripture to me. He said, no one will ever know. Love covers multitude of sins. How you want to live? How you want to live? Even in the body of Christ, you're going to need, especially. Why? Because we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We still do things. We say things. I had one of my pastor friend of me years ago, and I confronted him about it. He said, I had no idea. I was like, what? Are you serious, man? That's what I was like. Are you serious? I had no clue. I'm like, whoa, what is that? That I was like, no, to do with myself. But love will cover a multitude of sins. Listen, when someone sins against us, love will cover as we love them with the love of God, just the way God loved us and covered the multitude of our sins. Our sins. I remember one day when Gabriel, we had a prophet coming to the church, and Melody's brother Gabriel was in my youth group. And we were having class, and Shane Robert was there too. We had a lot of fun. And Gabriel was feeling uncomfortable in the class. And I was like, Gabriel, you all right? He said, well, you know, Pastor, I got something to ask you. I said, what's that? He said, well, you know, a prophet's coming. I said, yeah. He said, well, is he going to tell everybody about my sins? And I was like, and I don't like to counsel outside of the scripture. I can tell you what I think, but I don't want to counsel outside the scripture. So I went to the Old Testament, 2 Kings, when Elisha had the Shunammite woman coming to him because her child had died. And you know, Elisha is a prophet of prophets. And she's coming, and she grabbed a man by the feet, and Gehazi went to push her away. And Elisha said this, touch her not. She's grieving, and the Lord has not revealed to me why she's grieving. And so I took to the scripture. I said, Gabriel, look here. If God doesn't say it to the prophet don't know nothing. Gabriel was thinking that the prophet knew everything, you know, because he was young. And I said, no, the prophet knows. And besides that, God's not going to, he's not going to uncover all of your sins, because if he did that, he'd have to uncover all mine and everybody else's. But God is a loving God. And because in the way he's loving, we ought to be loving, right? And there are some things that when it's done to you, no one needs to hear about it. I'm just calling up for prayer and to let you know. Would you please pray for me? Because so-and-so said this, and I'm like, no. No, no, go before the Lord. And that's why the Bible says if your brother sins against you, go to him. It should be between you, him, and the Lord. You, her, and the Lord. That's the way it works. Hello. Peter was quoting Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, which reads, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 17 and 9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love. He who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. And so God would have us to love one another and being merciful, forgiving one another, even as Paul's teaching here in Colossians 3.
1 Corinthians 13 reads, and now abideth hope, love, hope, excuse me, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these. So then, you know, Paul said this. He says, in all that you do, do to the glory of God. We know that scripture, right? Let me add this to it. 1 Corinthians 16:14. I read this. I was like, for real, Lord, I don't remember this. I don't remember this quite like this. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done with love. Am I the only one who doesn't remember let all? I mean, it's all inclusive. It means everything. I just don't remember reading that before. I'm sorry. Been saved 30 some years. That thing has not hit me the way it's hit me just now. All that you do, you know what all means? It means everything. Every response, every thought, every word, every deed. Let it all be done with love. Wow. And why does he say that? Because he goes on and he says, put on love, which is the bond. That word bonds mean a joint tie or a ligament, a uniting principle, because love is the bond of perfection. Your version may say completeness or maturity. Love is what is going to join us to spiritual maturity. Spiritual completion or growth in Christ. Not that we ever arrive in this life. I haven't met a saint, nor will is there a saint who has arrived in this life. And the ones that think they did are the ones who are in heresy. So, no. Paul said this in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do you keep unity in the Spirit? Through peace. How do you keep unity? By having peace among yourselves. How do you destroy unity? By having fights and divisions and seditions and talking about one another and carrying on. But Paul says here that love is the bond that produces completeness. That's what the word perfection means in the Greek. It means complete of full age, the state of completeness mentally or morally. And so even in Ephesians 4:13, Paul says, we'll remember this scripture till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or to a mature man. Well, see, perfect in the scriptures doesn't mean the perfect that we think in our vernacular, right? Because to be honest with you, perfect doesn't exist. We have a word, but it doesn't exist. Okay? The word means mature or complete, till we come to a perfect man, a mature man, one who has grown up in what it means to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're on our way to maturity. We're on our way to full growth or completeness in the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that love is the bond or the ligament or the uniting principle to completeness. And that's why we need to, above all things, love one another. Colossians 1:28, Paul says again, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, or mature, or complete. That's what he's aiming at, right? So now, as I've always said, and I say this as I close, am I closing? Oh, dear. I'm getting close to closing. When God tells you to love, what does it mean? That every command that he gives is based off of, if he tells you to love, your love, our love, is based off of his love. Okay? In other words, we can't love anyone with the love of God until we've been loved with the love of God. And we all know that we would never, ever want anything to happen to the love that God loves us with. I mean, it's the most precious, the most beautiful. Oh, it's greater than anything. Nothing on earth is to be compared to the love that God loves us with, right? And so then he, but listen, that love, again, as I said earlier, is not based upon what we have ever done or ever could do. In other words, we don't merit God's love. We don't earn God's love. Moses was sure to let the Israelites know that in Deuteronomy 7:7, he said, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. He said, the reason why the Lord chose you is not in you. Oh, I love that. He said, the reason that the Lord chose you is not in you. He said in verse 8, but because the Lord loves you, the reason why the Lord chose you is in himself. Which means nothing can alter the love with which God loves you with. Huh? Ephesians 1 and 4, this beautiful a passage of scripture, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Just as God told us to put on love and to choose love, God says he chose us. Love chose us. So we're now to choose love. Hello? We love him because he first loved us. John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. What type of love is that? Sacrificial love. Jesus said this, greater love hath no man for a no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man. He said the highest form of love is sacrificial love. And then he goes on and he demonstrates it and lays down his life for his friends, which are all his disciples. And then he says, as he's doing that, he tells them that you're to love one. This is a new commandment. This is not found in the Old Testament. That's love your neighbor as yourself. That's one level. Jesus said, I'm going to take it to its rightful end in me. Now, a new commandment I give to you is not only love your neighbor as yourself. Go beyond that and love your neighbor. Love them as I have loved you. And you can only do that through the power of Christ living in you. Because it's not an earthly love. It's not even a normal love. Stephen exhibited it in Acts chapter 7 when the stones are hitting him. And he says, Lord, I pray, lay not this sin to their charge. And I'm getting upset with the girl on the phone. Come on now. Hello, I feel the skin getting warm, you know, body pressure rising, temperature going up just with the over the phone. And Stephen is saying, lay not this, wham, lay not this sin to their charge. So we're all growing, right, in this love. So God set his love upon us without us earning it. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Come on. And if Christ loved us, the scripture goes on and says, well, if he died for us while we were his enemies, how much more shall he then, through the resurrection of Christ, make us his family? Right? How shall we more we be reconciled to God through his death and resurrection? And so we see that this love that God tells us to put on is the God type of love. Because, you know, if we loved the way God loved. I hate being political, but I got to draw it out of what's at hand. There's low hanging fruit. You understand? So I'm just going to grab it. But if we love the way God loved, that migrant caravan is coming, that they're not going to invade the country. That's not what they're coming for. Can I tell you about El Salvador? Do you know how bad El Salvador is? I had an employee from El Salvador. MS-13, they're killing people. Listen, they're killing people in ways you just don't want to know. It is bad. And when they come to you and tell you, when they come to you and ask for money, and if you don't have the money, we're going to kill you, you're going to run with everybody else. But if we love the way God loved, we would seek to meet those people's needs.
who come into the border seeking asylum. I'm not saying all of them seeking asylum. I'm not, come on. Be right. I don't believe in just throw the border open, let everybody in, let everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry. No. But then the other isn't true either. You don't close the border and call everybody, you just a dog, we're not going to. No, no, because love says, I want to treat you the way I want to be treated. And if you were running for your life, if you were running for your life, you wouldn't want someone to slam the door in your face and not even give you a chance. So if our government, if it knew the love of God, it would be different. Families, churches, businesses, everything would be different. Romans 8:34. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, I can tell you this. Since nobody put us in the love of Christ, no one can separate us from the love of Christ. Who put us in Christ? The Father put us in Christ. Remember, Jesus said, Peter, who do men say that I am? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And if the Father doesn't reveal the Son to you, you'll never know who Jesus is. This is God's thing. This is his church. He's building the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And when he reveals his love through his Son, then you will be his. And so the scripture says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Ah, ain't nothing! Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the love we're talking about. And because God has loved us with that love, he tells us, then son, you go out and you love Jessica that way. You love Carl with that love. You love Dan with that love. You love Miss Edna with that love. You love the body of Christ with that love and beyond. And beyond. So we're to love one another with that love. That no one can take away from us because no one gave it to us but God. So it is the love of God that has transformed us, and this love, then we're to go love our neighbor with. And I close with this couple of scriptures. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Hello. He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? John reasons with us. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Hallelujah. And then let me close with the prior verses to that. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I would love to go into that, but let me simply say this. When God loves you, it takes away all fear of judgment. So that when it comes time for you to be judged, you won't be hiding and saying, rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him who was and is to come. But no, when Jesus shows up, the scripture says we will love his appearing. When he comes, we're going to be bright faced looking up. Unashamed. Why? Because he bore our guilt. He bore our judgment. And now we don't have to hide from, because the wrath of God does not abide on us any longer. And so that's why he says in 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us. This is what God is doing. He's perfecting our love. This is why it tells us to love one another. This is why our love is challenged in our relationships with one another, because it has to be made complete. Our love has to be matured. And you don't get something matured unless it gets tried and tested, right, and put to use. If you don't use your muscles, they will atrophy. I'm still working on how to get back into the gym to lift some weights. Amen. Too tired from work to do that now. But one day, glory to God, you got to use what you have. You got to work that love muscle. And so he says
that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Think about that. But perfect love casts out fear. Complete and mature love. In other words, you see, so when we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us. We turn from our sin, and all of our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, right? We don't know as Christians what it means to walk in fear, to live in fear. Now, some of us do. I mean, we all have things that we deal with, but God, through his love in loving us, is perfecting our love such that we will be like in the place where Jesus said, fear not those who can kill the body. But after they've killed the body, they can't touch your soul. He says, fear not. That's the ultimate, is fearing death. Jesus said, don't fear that. Hello? He said, don't fear it, even to the extent where he let Lazarus die. He said, don't fear it. And so there is no fear in love, but complete and mature love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And when we really get an understanding and walk in an understanding of the love of God toward us, then we'll fear nothing. Hello? Listen, nowhere in the life of Jesus, go look. Check your Bible. Did it ever say Jesus was afraid? He was never afraid. Even when they came to kill him, he was not afraid. Now, listen. You say, well, but he knew when his time was. He knew it wasn't his time. Exactly. But also, when the time came, he was not afraid. Why? Because he knew that what he had with his father, he knew that what he was going through down here was only a temporal thing. And he said, no man takes my life from me. He says, I lay it down. He said, the father has given me power to lay it down. And if I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. Listen, Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. Guess what? Let me tell you something. Nobody takes your life from you. And just like with Jesus, when the time comes, I'm not going to be afraid. I said, Lord, is it my time? Is it my time? He says, yes. I said, well, here we go then. Be what it is. I don't know what it'll be. But when it's my time, what's to be afraid of? This is a temporal life, church. Come on. We got to deal with these things. This is temporal. But love, perfect and mature love, his love for us, takes the fear out of it. Why? Because fear has torment. And God doesn't want us running around tormented by a fear of, well, I don't know if I have enough in retirement. Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take care of me when I get old? I'll tell you who's going to take care. The one who gave you your first breath when you come out the womb. That one. The one who cared for you every day, every moment of that day, ongoing. He's the one who's going to take care of you. Well, I'm afraid if my children go, something might happen to them. Oh, come on. Hello. Is God faithful? Is he good? Is he? Come on. I'm afraid I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Who has your future? He who was and is to come. He's there. He's standing. Listen, he's Lord over all of that. So we don't have to fear, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, O God, for the love of God. And we thank you that the love with which you loved us now has released us to go and love our brethren. Has released us to go and love others with the same love with which you loved us. And so, Father, I pray Lord, that it would be our experience and our realization that above all the things we do, everything that we do, say, and think, Lord, would be in love, would be covered by your love. Help us to mature, help us to grow, help us to be conscious of, not condemned, oh Lord, but compelled by the love of God to love others. In fulfilling the law, as the Spirit has already done in us, we pray that our love would grow and mature and be complete to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask all of this in his precious name. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.